So, hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are live again for another week of Turning Towards Life. And you are so welcome to join us wherever you are, wherever in the world, and whenever in the world you happen to be listening to this. We are recording this in August 2023, and Lizzie is in London. I know you're in London, Lizzie, and I am sitting behind the wheel of a car somewhere near Pisa in Italy, where I am this week. And I'm feeling, Lizzie, it marveled at the technology that makes it possible for us to do this. It's really amazing. And feeling grateful, very grateful for our commitment to keep on having this happen. So this is the 306th one of these conversations that we've done so far, really without interruption. So thank you to all the people who made the amazing technology, and thank you to you, Lizzie, for being here. And thank you to everyone, all of you who are with us, an increasing number of people. Some of you have been with us for 306 episodes, and some of you are just joining us now. You're all equally welcome. And this is an expression of a bigger something called Third Space. So if you're interested in finding out about Third Space and all the things that we're up to, you can head over to wearethirdspace.org. And Lizzie, as always, we have a source for this week, which you've chosen. And thank you for ringing this one.
Well, Justin, I'm completely amazed that you're here and that you've driven however long to find 3G and a place to park. And it reminds me, Justin, of, well, I'm just thinking that in the early days, that would be quite normal for one of us to be doing something and being somewhere else in England or something. And then the pandemic happened. And of course, we were in our houses every single Sunday for a very long time. So it was became less regular that we did our. We called it by hook or by crook that we would do it. And I know that there were episodes of me sitting on steps behind pubs and with my rain mac up and in the pouring rain. And this is just reminding me of the by hook or by crookness of it, that we just agreed we would just do it wherever we were and whatever the conditions were, we would just have a go. And for it not to be perfect and not to be all produced, but just to be part of our lives rather than something manufactured or something. So I'm really appreciating that, and I mean the vibe and loving that you're in the car that you had to drive for miles to find the 3G, and that 3G, what on earth is 3G anyway? I mean, you probably know what it is. I really don't know what it is. I'm just grateful that it exists and that we can do this too. So thank you, Justin. And this week, I don't even know how I came across this poem. I think somebody tagged me in it or something happened. Anyway, there is a poet called the poet Brahms, and I don't know his full name or what the deal is, but his kind of online name is the poet Brahms. And this poem really spoke to me in lots of ways, so I wanted to bring it here for us to find our way with and see what happens when we talk about it together. So thank you to, maybe your name is Brahms. Thank you, Brahms, for this extraordinary, beautiful poem. And once I started looking, there's many more of these beautiful poems from him as well. And his story is really beautiful. So please, I would encourage you to check this person out and see their story and read beautiful words and insight and wisdom and love that comes from this work. This one's called Ha. And if you're new here, what happens is I read it, then Justin reads it, and then we see where we go from there. So here we go. This is called Ha by the poet Brahms. Have you ever just sat and listened to a loved one vent? Silently, you held space, so from darkness they'd rallied back. Support need not be complex. It only needs to be only that. Listen until the clouds crack and bleed them some sunshine. Smile and be their lifeline till their words, their worst feels like it's just fine. Smile and be their lifeline till their worst feels like it's just fine.
So this is hush. Have you ever just sat and listened to a loved one vent? Silently you held space till from darkness they'd rallied back. Support need not be complex. It only needs to be only that. Listen until the clouds crack and bleed them some sunshine. Smile and be their lifeline till their worst feels like it's just fine.
Oh, thank you, Justin. So as you were reading, I could feel all the parts of me that want to help but feel quite powerless, feel very held and reassured by this, and that there's this possibility that we're being given here of our presence being what's needed, our listening being what's needed, and that if we listen and we listen and we listen, the natural unfolding of things will be of huge value. And I think the last line is the one that moves me most, which is that we could smile and be their lifeline till their worst feels like it's just fine. Somehow for me, all of the times where I've talked until like the worst of me has come to the fore and someone hasn't run away, I feel like I've said this to you lots of times, that you don't seem to run away when I think the worst of me comes forward. But somehow that meeting of my worstness and it not being something somebody runs away from or shames me for or pushes down or says, well, now you've gone too far and you're completely not okay in yourself or something, to me, because that hasn't happened. I mean, someplace it has happened, but those ones, they're not my people that I trust or whatever. But when I feel that trust and I can be the worst of myself and it's just fine, the worstness doesn't need to be the biggest thing anymore. Somehow something really happens in that moment of, oh, I'm not as dark as I thought I was, or I'm not as unacceptable as I thought I was, or that part of me that I have judged so harshly doesn't get judged by the same degrees from someone else. So therefore, maybe I'm different than I thought I was. Maybe there's more possible here than I thought was. And so this listening and this smiling at the worst of each other makes me breathe deeper and feel way more hopeful about all of the parts of all of us that we feel aren't bringable to the lightable because they're too bad or they're too awful or they're too unacceptable to the world.
When you say all of that, Lizzie, it has me wonder what we might mean by listening. So there's the one part of this, which I suppose is the more obvious part of this, which is given the choice when we're with somebody who we care about, who's in some kind of difficulty or in the midst of some kind of thing, there's a choice about the balance between listening and speaking, for example. You know, how early am I going to say anything? Am I going to bring anything that I can see, or am I going to listen, and in what order? And for those of us who jump in very quickly with wanting to do something about something, helpful as that can be sometimes, the invitation that's here that you've expressed so beautifully is, what if our role very, very often is to be present to the person and stay with the person that we care about, so that something else can start to make itself known in them through the process of being unhurried and not jumping in. I know one of the reasons sometimes I find it hard to speak to other people is because I can feel that if I even open my mouth, what I'm going to get is their answer to my difficulty. And it's not that that's never helpful. Sometimes it is helpful, but often if there's a big knotty thing in me that needs some working through, it's not helpful. And like you said, and you have been a person like this for me too, to be with someone that we feel safe enough to let it all come through so that we can start to be in contact with and be welcomed just as we are is a really big part of the process of us each finding our own resourcefulness. And the way I was thinking about it, and this comes back to my what I was thinking about how to listen, what listening might mean. You talked about bringing, I think you said the worst of the worst, or you used that kind of phrase, which is when I'm caught up in a thing, a difficulty or a pain or a worry or a panic or a stuckness or a whatever, one of the things I know about you is that you'll see that, but you'll also see and hold the rest of me too, that you'll know that I'm not only this thing that's appeared. And so listening isn't just the act of staying and hearing the words. Listening is a kind of, I think, a kind of openness or a kind of orientation or a kind of width and depth that we can be. So it's not really the physical act of some sound arriving in your eardrums and making meaning in your mind and all of that kind of thing. It's more like we humans are a kind of affordance for something, an opening for something, a stand for something. And you could be the very same person in the very same body making the very same movements. You could be listening in a corrective way to me, even if you don't say anything. Or you could be listening knowing that whatever it is that I'm bringing is one part of a vastness, and that as well as whatever I may be telling you about something where I've really messed up, where I've really hurt someone or behaved in a way that's not useful to my life or those I care about, and you may feel all of that very, very strongly and feel, but can we also listen for everything else that is there? And it seems to me that that's the kind of listening that's implied and called for by this poem. It's a sort of faithfulness. What's the way to say this? It's sort of not just listening in disagreement or agreement with what I'm telling you. Like it doesn't help me for you to go along with everything I'm saying. Maybe I've really got myself in a pickle, you know, and you could listen in a way that keeps that going. Or you could listen in a way that tries to correct it. Or you could listen in a way that holds the pickle and holds my goodness and holds possibility and holds depth and holds. And because you're being all of those, this process that's described so beautifully in the poem can happen where their worst, my worst, can feel like it's got a place. But it's not the mechanical acts of listening that really is the important, it's not the important part of this by any means.
That's so good, Justin, this redefining of the word listen. And what's springing to my mind is, and you know, I often bring this in because this is my life and world at the moment, but being a parent to a small child where basically she's a set of impulses and happenings that are natural, where there's no adjustment being made. There's no have a very limited capacity for self-regulation. You know, it's just an eruption of what's real and true in any given moment. And I know when I'm in the presence of someone who's doing the kind of listening that you're talking about with her, and I know when I'm not. And that shows me all the times as well where I'm not that person who's listening in the way that you're talking. Because of course it happens to me all the time where someone's behaving in a certain way and I feel reactive and I narrow. So all I'm seeing is that part of them. All I'm experiencing is my own reaction to their worstness. To use the language we're using today, but they're the part that's here that I don't feel okay with. And I'm amazed at what that feels like to be in that contrast. Like I know what it feels like to be a person who holds that bigger context in someone, and I also know what it feels like to be completely taken by the part of you that's coming forth that I'm in reaction to, and how blinkered I am in that moment to the truth and the context of the human being in front of me. And I'm loving this possibility, because when you say the word listen, I know that I can do that. You know, I know that that's like a little lifeline in my own reactivity, where I can say, okay, well, what if I just listened? And somehow I can feel it happening in this conversation, that there's a redefining of the word listening that's happening. But because listening is something I know that I can do, like I can stop and listen. In that stopping and listening now, I feel like I could even more attune myself to something bigger in the moment. And I could, for example, listen to the person who isn't listening in the way we're talking about, and see this as a part of them coming forward in reaction to something. And that's so helpful, because I think when we start reacting, it's like we can all get sucked down the same hole of reaction in a family system. So if I think about us leaving the house, for example, or going on a journey or something, and we've all got to pack up this week and we're going away for a week. And I know that the kerfuffle of that, of going from this kind of sprawling family to a couple of suitcases and locking the door on the way out, and there being time constraints and all of those things, it's so easy to do the opposite of this listening thing, and for all of us to get into a kind of super reactive small place with each other. And even just like a shard of this, like that, like this is saying that the clouds crack and bleed them some sunshine, like blood comes out of a small hole, and a crack is a thin line. It's hopeful because it doesn't mean that you have to be flooded with wholeness and peace or something, but there just needs to be a crack somewhere where we can take a breath and be this kind of listening that you're talking about, Justin, and that we can have a crack, a blinked, slightly open eye to one another's hugeness, vastness, mysteriousness at the same time as the kerfuffle going on. And how helpful that is to our own systems to be able to hold whatever's going on with the kind of personhood that we want to be, rather than the kind of person that we go, oh my God, can't believe I reacted like that, or that thing happened again and I was a complete nutcase again. You know, there's just like this little piece of choice that comes in with this crack and this bleeding of sunshine.
Lizzie, when you just starting speaking, you talked about raising a little one, and you started to talk about reactivity and regulation. And it maybe somehow this is at the heart of what this is being invited into, that we're being invited into here, that being a human is so much more than being an object or being a machine. There's a whole world in us and a whole world of relationship, but there's an in-between. There's all kinds of in-between in us and all kinds of in-between between us. And I know that I can put up the facade of listening and being super reactive inside, like mobile, like I just want you to shut up, or I just want you to stop it, or I just want you to, you know, get over yourself, whatever it is. And I know that is not the same as finding and softening all the reactive parts of myself so that something bigger and deeper and wider that you might call essential self can be present, and that has a marked impact on whoever is speaking. And that there's one of the mysteries of being human is that our interiority and our in-betweenness play such a big role. And I remember remembering years ago when I started off, just when I sort of was entering into the world of wanting to do coaching and working with groups and working with people as my profession. I remember going and doing, I had the chance to go and run, actually it was in Italy, I'm in Italy now. It was a chance to go and run a program for a few days with a group in a company. And there was this big thing on listening in it. And all the things on listening were things you could see from the outside, like, are you facing the person and are you nodding and are you, you know, are you saying back to them what they said, all these sort of basic moves. And I remember thinking at the time, and I still think this now, yeah, a lot of those are helpful, but none of them add up to listening. That we really know. The first place to look is the question to ask myself is, who am I being when I'm with you? You can't tell that, really. You could tell the bit of it by looking, and then you'll know that because of what it feels like to be with me. And it's got a lot to do with our own willingness also to learn how to work with our own reactivity, our own inner state, all of which shows up. There was an article this week about how these very, very, very clever new AI tools are going to become revolutionary in the world of coaching. And I thought, yes, maybe in some ways they'll come up with very classy questions, or, you know, whatever it is, or advice, or these kind of things. But what they'll never be is the open space and wide-heartedness and care that a person can be. Because that's what it is to be a person and not a mechanism. So I was very taken by what you said about folding up a wide family into a couple of suitcases and all of that. And there are times for let's just get out the door because there's a deadline that we have to meet. But there are also the times that we're being called into by this poem to set all of that aside and be the ones for whom nothing has to happen apart from being present with one another. That's the gift that we get to give. I think that's where I'm starting to get to, is that presence, our presence and our openness to one another is one of the most both extraordinary and necessary gifts for us to give to one another, and only we can give it. And we can learn to give it by the way that we pay attention and the way that we work with ourselves on the inside. And so there's a path to walk here as well.
Yeah. And Justin, this, I can't help thinking, I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that you and I are intending on starting a space for people to come and join us in Turning Towards Life. And I feel like maybe this is what the whole deal is about, which is our wish and our intention to extend this. And of course, we've been doing that in some way already by speaking the way that we speak each week with one another. And in some way, that being true because of us being together, this listening thing. But also, what is it to build that, to facilitate the building of that between people in real time? What is it to set up a situation where what we do is we smile and be one another's lifelines till our worst feels like it's just fine? together? And how do we be part of making that a thing in the world that's even more present? And of course, there's hundreds of places that are doing that already. How extraordinary. And I know that we've been both creating those and on the receiving end of those for years. And this feels like our particular something in turning towards life as well. Because of course, when you're in some fearful small place in you, and I turn towards life in your presence, life is much bigger than your reactivity. Life is much bigger than your smallness, your fear, your worry, your kerfuffling, the maelstrom of madness inside of your head and heart. There's something bigger always going on. And when we can be that something, that awareness of something bigger for one another, something really different happens. It just does. Like there's zero question in me that that's true. Like I know when I'm feeling at my bonkersest, and like I can't wrangle the horses of madness in my head, but as soon as I begin speaking with somebody who is that present, something in me shifts and I can find a different way. And many times I can do that on my own in some way, like I can read things and I can sit still and breathe and all of those things. But I don't think I've ever experienced anything as powerful as somebody receiving me, who's not a robot, by the way, but who's a person with a life and pain and difficulty and kerfuffling in their existence, who holds this way of listening with me. And then what happens and the untangling that happens, and the simplicity that can arrive, and the "it's not as bad as I thought it was" thing. Like when it's only on my inside, it's like being tortured. And then when I'm with someone, when I'm with you, and I can just say it all, just as this amazing poem is inviting us into, that I just speak and it all comes out, the nature of everything changes. But I wouldn't be able to do that speaking unless you were here in a certain way with me. Like you said, I can't remember which piece of it, but you said something like, sometimes feel afraid to speak because I might be corrected, or I might be fixed, or I might be, I don't know, interacting with someone else's reactivity, and that's really not what I need right now. I just need the space to be held and listened to and interacted from presence, interacted with from presence and listening. When that can happen, that fear falls away. You know, I know I'm not going to, you're not going to treat me like I'm your next problem or your next issue to tick off a list or something, but you're going to actually receive this. Receive me and hold me in a bigger way than I'm holding myself right now. And then I can do that. That translates to me somehow. That transmits to me that there's something bigger going on than the words that I'm saying and the kerfuffle, the forces in my head going round and round in a circle that I can't seem to break the chain of. So I feel like us beginning to move into a space where we might be creating a group that can do that for one another and facilitating those connections just by gathering and having some guidelines of what listening is and all of those things that we're wondering about. I hadn't made that connection yet with this poem particularly, but as you were talking, I was like, oh yes, I think this is the thing. This is what we're going to be doing, and this is what's most sacred, is to be able to be this for one another.
I love the idea of being able to be lifelines for one another, Lizzie. You just said it's like you said, there's so much we can do on our own, but there's so much that we can only do because there's another presence being present with us, another heart and mind, a being, as someone who cares. And I think this is the last thing for me to say. I wonder if maybe part of our way of being lifelines for one another comes precisely because we can get caught up in being reactive and wanting to fix one another and urgent and all of those, and we can choose to set that aside in order to welcome the bigness of another person and all of them. That's not the particular thing that's going on, all of their goodness too. It's that we have the choice to do that that makes it meaningful when we do it. But I could imagine sitting with a, you know, sitting with a machine that was linguistically very sophisticated and would only ever respond, remind me of my goodness, and the words might all do the thing, but for all the reasons that we're saying, including that it's to do with we humans have choices about what we care about and how we direct our attention. And it is that act of choosing to care and to direct our attention, our width or our narrowness, our depth or our shallowness, our urgency or our patience, that means that when we do meet one another in this way, we can be lifelines to one another, because we are, when you are that for me, it awakens in me that in me, which can make similar choices. So I think we need one another to do this. It's why being together and turning towards one another as well as turning towards life itself is so crucial for flourishing as a person. And why maybe in these times when there are many different kinds of crises, some immediate and some far off, that we're having to work within our own systems and live in the midst of, and when there's the hype about how machines will do so many of these things for us, why it's very, very important that we remember ourselves and one another and come into contact with one another, precisely because of all of those things.
Oh, this is so, I don't know what the word is, nourishing to be in this conversation, the wonderings of it. And I want to say thank you again to the Poet Broms for writing this particular wonderfulness, and for having so many poems like this as well. Really beautiful. And Justin, thank you to you for doing what you did to be able to get here into the petrol station or wherever you're sitting, the glamorous location that you're in. And thank you to us for just keeping on and being in these conversations. And thank you everybody for being here with us, for being the reason we get into this space each time and that follow through on our commitment to one another and everybody here. So thank you. And next week I'm going to be in a different place, and probably Justin, you're going to be home in your normal place. So we're going to have another kerfuffle of some kind next week. So I look forward to that kerfuffling round. And just to say thank you to everybody, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, we're really, really, really grateful. And you can always contact us, by the way, hello@turningtowards.life, even if it's just to say hi. We would love to hear. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks, Lizzie.
See you all next week.